if that is a solution.
Well, I do a lot of activism. I mean, I'm introduced as a researcher, but actually we are a research-based action group because we believe in action, we believe in political action, but we want to do it with a lot of knowledge to know what we're doing and what we really want to change. And yes, we are trying with groups of people, discussing with journalists, discussing with people of influence, making all kinds of things, but this is also having a debate on what is a threat and what is the cause of the European militarization. Yes, that is what we need to do. Sometimes people ask me the question, is it possible with the peace movement? We had 500,000 people on the street in the 80s. Where are all these people? But they forget that before we had 500,000 people on the street, there were lots of these kind of small debates, and we need to do a lot of this kind of grassroots work to counter the enormous propaganda that is actually coming to us from NATO and right-wing governments and military industry and generals speaking on television. So we really need, we are Europe. I mean, they are in ruin, but we are Europe, and we want to defend values which are not explicitly European, but that are human values, and we want not security for Europe, we want security for everybody in the world. And that is what we have to continue again and again and again, and we have to fight back this enormous war machine.
I think Valela, you also gave us a very good explanation of how simple lobbying is, and I think everybody here can also find the email address of members of parliaments and express their concerns when it comes to militarization. Like, this is also something we can do, and not only big companies. I think it's also an important point. Maybe question more here in the front.
Thank you. First of all, I would like to express my appreciation of the work that End Arms Trade and ENAT is doing, not just for years, but for decades. And I really, it's very important because at the moment, we all know that the narrative, the discussions that are going on, the dominant ones, are not the ones we are having here. So I really appreciate that. I have two questions for both of you. Russia is an autocracy. And what we see internationally is that autocracies are linking up and strengthening each other. What would you advise the European Union, not Europe, but the European Union, to do about that? And my second question is, all over the Netherlands, we now have these resilience trainings at different levels, resilience going on, debates, is the energy sector resilient, is the city of Amsterdam resilient? Would you consider that a positive development or not? Oh, by the way, my name is Gisela Duting. I am specialized in women, peace and security, and I spent the last 3 years in Kiev.
Thank you for your questions.
Shall I shortly answer on the resilient question? The weird, actually the militarization of the society, which is called in military terms preparing for defense. You see it also in universities, so it is also relevant for you. And you see also people from universities, like for example, University of Tilburg uniting, teachers from universities uniting and saying, we don't want this militarization on our university. We don't want our students being indoctrinated with war talk. We want an open-minded population on the university. So, and I think that is important. I think it is important when you meet things like that, that you organize against it and you speak out. Second question was how we wanted to run the European Union, I think, something like that.
Autocracy,
linking up with linking up with Trump, the autocracy of Trump, which is less and less democracy, so that's very scary. And also in Europe, there are very right-wing autocratic governments. We just saw today the new right-wing Polish government doing a march with a Polish first intention. So, yeah, I don't know if the European Union, which is now filled with autocratic leaders, will be the place to make a difference. I think we have to change this. We the people.
Anything to add?
Absolutely. So the best way to fight autocracy is not being one, and not becoming one, it's by being the example, and that would threaten autocratic states because you're providing a better example. But I don't see the European Union fighting democracy. The European Union is embracing autocracy. You see, especially now in the European Parliament, you see the majority relying on far-right parties, which basically these are fascists, but they have a more, you know, pacifying name, far-right, to whenever von der Leyen needs them to lower the basic standards when it comes to the Green Deal and when it comes to regulation for big tech. You have, and the way that the European Commission is run today is run in an authoritarian fashion. You see, even from within, you see complaints about complete centralization and personalization of power, deinstitutionalization that is taking place. Normal procedures, normal rules are not being followed within the European Union. So the European Union is in a process of autocratization. It is becoming another ugly copy of the United States and of Russia in if it pursues in this direction. It's not exactly there, but there's nothing in the DNA of Europeans not to be autocrats, because we have a very good experience of producing good autocrats in Europe historically. So there's nothing that has changed in our constitution that we will not go down that path. And the moment we destroy those rules that have been created, even by the Guardian of the Treaties, the European Commission is supposed to be the example. And just see how they have reacted to breaches of European treaties by member states, the way that they have advanced or stopped infringement procedures. You see, like they're playing with the rule of law in the European Union. And the moment you start tinkering with the rule of law in the European Union, you're actually opening the gates to arbitrariness and opening the gates to authoritarian practices. Because what is there to protect you if the rule of law is not being followed? So I don't see the European as a champion of a democratic example that is a shining example for others to follow. So that's, I don't know how to answer that question, because I don't know if that's even the agenda of the European Union.
When we look at which countries are actually championing international criminal law and bringing all these cases in front of international courts, they're not European countries, and they're countries from so-called Global South. So that's also, maybe we need to shift focus from our traditional partners towards, newer partners. I think we still have time to take maybe one or two questions, maybe here at the left, and one at the left and then one at the right.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for both of your talks. I'm Jolle Demmers, Utrecht University. My question is see if we can bring it back to the university, something more concretely maybe for people sitting here, because currently the university is very rapidly being militarized. I'm not sure if you know about the new minor in military training that is now starting in Groningen for the first university who's signing up for giving students the possibility to take a minor, 30 EC, So that's one third of your bachelor program. Where you you're going to be trained for the military, and you'll be trained to be a reservist. So that's sort of now starting within the academic debate. Tilburg is considering starting it as well. My own university is in the process of considering opening up the curricula for this. But all hogescholen already have signed up for it. So they've already this year set up this possibility, and it still is still a choice for students to do this, but this is quite a massive, I think, invasion. 30 EC of your academic training can go into becoming a reservist. So it's actually really close to home. So it's something, as Wendela says, something that you can concretely relate to and think about resisting to, or at least, you know, critiquing or starting a debate about. And the second question, the real question that I have actually, is again, there's probably this room is full of young people who are going to think of their bachelor or master projects, research projects. What are the questions that you don't have time to delve into, Wendela, that you'd love to see investigated? And maybe the same question for Jovelin. What should we know more about?
Where to start? Well, one thing of research recently came along was the investment in military by Pentagon. It was researched, the four biggest military companies in the United States were researched into what is this money going to. And it turned out that a lot of this money is not going to production, but to the shareholders. For example, by buying back shares so that the share price is rising. So that's the Pentagon giving. We should very much like to have a kind of research like this in Europe. We need to know more about what these military companies are actually doing, where the money is going to, where the money is coming from. There is really there is in Brussels. You have this NGOs in Brussels who are lobbying there on environmental, social issues. A very small NGOs on peace issues. The NGO lobbying and researching on military production. It's from the European Network Against Arms Trade, to which I am connected. She is only one part-time researcher doing all these militarization activities in Brussels. So everything that's going on in Brussels is very much going under the radar. And it should be.
She needs interns.
I think so, yeah. I think she can have interns, yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Great questions. The first question just made me think of Russia, because they are inviting students to come and study in Russia, and what happens to them is they send to the production line to produce drones to blow them up on Russian on Ukrainian schools, so it's already happening, and so now we are moving towards these programs here in the Netherlands. The next step might be that we will have a master's degree on how to build drones and how to build bombs. I hope that doesn't come to that point, but it might come to the point. What is there to stop it? But it's for me that's terrifying. I don't know why the world around me is so terrified. I'm completely terrified by the speed with which these taboos are broken one after the other, and questioning this it has become almost like. It's an excommunicating act that you are questioning our defense. Are you with the Russians? You know, like that's the totalitarian mindset. It's not a democratic mindset that you see. And in terms of research questions, there are plenty for me that I would love to know the answer to. For instance, why there is variation in the European Union? Some states, some countries are more keen to militarize, and others are not. Like what is there to prevent this militarization? What are some of the early signs of militarization of society that you can see? We see generals on the newspapers that have a respectable position all of a sudden, and the capital they are building on the threats we are facing. So what do you do with these people once they become important in our society? So are they going to create their own constituencies so they can than later, like in other militarized societies, like in Croatia, for instance, and others, where they play a very important role in who gets elected and how much support they can be for a party. So to see the broader, the political ramifications of the militarization of society, for me, is absolutely crucial. To see what the early signs are, so how do we establish, and what are the broader consequences, the ramifications of militarization of society, the militarization of politics. Like, because you can start to see problems in terms of politics is a lot about power. Not everything is about power. Not everything is about conflict and about annihilating the other. So it's just the terms that we are using is catastrophic for our peaceful existence. And one, to go back to what we just said earlier, for me, the fundamental question is to expose the capitalist capture of our democracy. For me, is the fundamental question, because obviously these measures that are taking, these policies, do not serve human security. They serve specific particular interests, a specific ruling class that, again, stands to gain from war and doesn't suffer the consequences of it, right? And that means we go and look at how the European Parliament, you have for every MEP, you have at least two full-time lobbyists who are actually lobbying them. How much is the public interest reflected in what these MEPs are doing in Brussels? So for me, that is absolutely vital to see what are the mechanisms of the capture of our public institutions that are producing regulation and policies that serve the military, serve the interests of the few, against the public interest, against what we all need. And this requires a radical redemocratization of our societies, again, making everyone aware of what is at stake. Yeah, they will have their time, their hands full with questions about what is going on in terms of capture, how do we actually expose it, and the consequences of militarization of society.
Thank you. Thank you for these interesting avenues for research. I think people are motivated to answer them. I think we can do one last question. I'm going to ask the question to be asked shortly and the answers to be short as well. At the back. There, right there.
Hi, thank you. My name is Antoine. I'm actually a colleague of Leo's, so good to see you on the stage this time. Very short question. So you've spoken of we's. We need to reprogram our thinking. We need to do this and this. Who is this we? And how do we acquire the actual power to prevent war and to enforce peace and not just oppose and denounce it?
You look at me? Yeah, this. I think it's always tricky when people speak about we. Well, I can only speak about myself. I mean, I do research, I publish, I speak at demonstrations, I organize demonstrations. There are a lot of military companies in the Netherlands. There are a lot of military objects in the Netherlands. There are a lot of places where you can express your discontent. You can also write a letter to the newspaper. I know somebody who writes 5 letters a month, and then one is placed. I mean, it's a 1 in 5 thing. Mostly you're denounced, but sometimes you get lucky. You can. There's so many ways. But do something. Speak out. If you are really concerned, speak out, because there's so much propaganda and there's so little opposition. And what I notice when I organize things, that people are mostly very glad that they see that they're not the only one who is concerned. And just before we started this meeting, we were speaking with each other, and you were asking me, how is it possible? I'm concerned. And I said, I'm also concerned. And we were like, whoa, we both think there's something going very wrong. And yes, we need more people to say that and more people to speak out. But a problem that we have in the Netherlands is that we really bounce at walls when we go to political parties. There are only the very small political parties that are open to discussion on this topic, and the rest is very much following the American line, following Mark Rutte, still following Mark Rutte, you don't understand it. And it's really something they don't want to discuss because they're afraid that it will cause trouble in the party, or it will cause trouble in the politics, or it will be more difficult to have a coalition or whatever. But it's very difficult to discuss. They don't want to discuss it because they know when they have to when they're going to discuss it, they have to answer questions they cannot answer. Like, for example, the Green parties in Europe, in the Netherlands and in Germany, they're very much in favor of the militarism. And they cannot answer the question how you can combine that with a climate policy, because it's impossible. When you raise the military budget so high, you cannot have a climate policy. So they don't want to have this discussion at all. So start the discussion. Ask them questions. Make them answer.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for everybody in the audience for asking questions. We're going to have some drinks available for free at the back. So if you are concerned that you want to share your concerns with others, please do so. I want to thank again Jovelin and Wendela for joining us on stage tonight. And thank you to the host for facilitating and the cleaners for keeping the space clean. And last note, please follow us on Instagram. We're also looking for new people to come here on stage, young people, especially if you're interested in technical, scientific subjects, the technicalities of the arms trade or whatnot. Please reach out because we would love to hear from you. Thank you.
I put the blood. Thank you. Mm-hmm.